I was a professor, and then I left the academy, since I judged it to be a scam, and still do. But I didn't realize how easy professor money is to make, and how hard non-professor money is to make. Anyway, until recently, I was trying to reinvent myself, or at least rebrand myself, as a financier slash insurance man. To this end, I took a job, for lack of a better word, at Primerica. The first thing to point out is that I was quite impressed with the two people with whom I interviewed. They were kind, intelligent, and they listened well. In any case, during each interview, when I mentioned that I'd a doctorate and was a former professor, the interviewer in question started fulminating about one John Calfayon, this is his actual name, who supposedly was a former professor himself of economics and also a PhD recipient like myself. I find economics intensely interesting, and I was very much looking forward to meeting with the man. Incidental point. Ordinarily, Primerica charges its new hires a $125 training fee, the purpose of which is to defray the cost of training new recruits for their insurance licensing exams. But since I already had my insurance licenses, this fee was waived in my case, and all I was charged was the $25 a month fee to access their online courses in advanced finance and securities, which is an extremely reasonable price. So I didn't immediately think scam when I was asked to pay this rather modest $25 fee. Anyway, at Primerica, there are bi-weekly, semi-mandatory pep rallies, where all of the new recruits get together and then listen to a two-hour pep talk. These meetings are always preceded by informal get-togethers. At one of these pre-pep talk get-togethers, I ran into my team leader, and I asked him if we sold health insurance. I already had my health insurance license, and I was ready to get to work. To my surprise and puzzlement, my team lead didn't know. He said, "Oh, well, you'd have to ask John Calfayon. He's right over there. I'll introduce you." He led me over to an awkward, slightly hunched over man, and he said, "John, this is JM. He used to be a philosophy professor. He already has his health license, and he wants to know if we sell health insurance." Immediately, Mr. Calfayon said to me, in an excited, almost aggressive way, "Oh, so you're a philosopher of health, I take it. You do health philosophy. You're a health insurance philosopher." I was enormously put off by this. First of all, there's no such thing as health philosophy or health insurance philosophy. Second, even if there were, it would still be a colossally stupid thing to say, since, given only that I have a health insurance license and that I also taught philosophy, it doesn't follow that the two are related. Third, even if they were related, it would still be a stupid thing to say, since it is alienating the extreme to make and then state massive presumptions about people before having any real knowledge about them. It was very hard to reconcile this behavior of Mr. Calfayon's with the supposed fact that he was a doctor of economics, let alone with the supposed fact that he was the all-transcendingly brilliant chap that the others made him out to be. Anyway, I responded by saying, in a sober but reasonably friendly way, that although I was a health-licensed ex-philosophy professor, the two were unrelated. I then asked him if, in fact, our branch of Primerica sold health insurance. He did not answer directly. He started flapping his arms and sputtering and going on and on about how the market was in disarray. He kept using that exact turn of phrase, the implication being that for this reason it was contraindicated to sell health insurance or some such. But he didn't state this directly, so I had to ask him repeatedly whether we in fact sold health insurance. Finally, he said that, although we were licensed to do so, we did not. Actually, he didn't even quite come out and say that. I said it, and he then agreed with me. Then the pep rally proper started, and he was the keynote speaker. His talk, like every other talk at these rallies, was about recruiting, not about selling insurance, which was supposedly what we did. And what he was saying was incredibly pedestrian. He was saying over and over again that if you had coffee with 5 people in a given week, you would probably recruit 1. So if you had 20 coffee dates in a given week with prospective recruits, you'd probably get 4 recruits, which is a lot of coffee dates, incidentally. But that isn't what struck me. What struck me was that in between each sentence of his, he would say, and he would stare at the floor and walk in circles. And his mannerisms might have been semi-appropriate had he been an actual professor who was giving some incredibly brilliant talk, in which case his pacing and stammering and floor staring would have meant that he was deep in thought. But he was giving some idiot lecture about how to get recruits, and he was giving this lecture to people most of whom had themselves just been recruited and had been given zero information about what to do besides getting recruits. And there's another important fact. I had been led to believe, I don't know if I'd been told as much, but I had definitely been led to believe it, that I'd be paid $100 for each person that I recruited. I myself had already recruited 1 or 2 people, believing that I'd be paid $100 a head. But I was told, just prior to being introduced to Mr. Calfayon, that, in fact, we were not paid for recruits. So I didn't really know what I was being paid to do. And when listening to Mr. Calfayon's talk about recruiting, I didn't quite know why we were supposed to recruit. I found out later, and I'll get to that. One other thing, setting aside John Calfayon, who came across as an untrustworthy neurotic goof, the senior people there were very friendly and bright and personable. At the same time, the non-senior people were slimy and evasive, and in some cases, prohibitively stupid. And when I asked people who had been there a few months whether there was any money in any of this, they squirmed and gave me vague answers along the lines of, "Well, you see, the town that I live in is a virgin market, so yes, I suppose there probably is a lot of business there." Or they might say, "Well, yes, absolutely, it just comes down to applying the steps." I should point out that at these bi-weekly training sessions, nothing of substance was ever covered. It was always the same old spiel. If you work hard enough, it'll happen. And if it doesn't happen, it's because you weren't following the program. The first few times I heard this spiel, I was somewhat impressed by the energy and humor and general charisma of the speaker, who in most cases was the top person there. And this person really did have charisma and energy, and it seemed some intelligence. But I soon realized that every one of these bi-weekly sessions was the same as the last, that at each one I just heard 2 hours worth of rot about how great the company was, without ever being told in a concrete way what we did or how we did it or why we did it. But at this point I was still part-time, which meant that I only came to the bi-weekly pep rallies and didn't do any of the daily training sessions. So I decided to become full-time, meaning that I would go both to the bi-weekly training sessions and to the daily early morning training sessions. And I thought that at these early morning sessions, I would really learn the nuts and bolts of how to sell whatever it was we were selling. But when I actually went to these daytime sessions, it was just more of the same. It was literally the same spiel over and over again. It was deeply unclear how anyone there was making any money, and there was little or no mention of selling anything. So far as the daytime talks were not just hot air, they concerned recruiting. And I had been told to bring a pencil and paper to these sessions, which was inexplicable given that nothing of substance was ever said, and yet everyone at these sessions just gazed starry-eyed at the speaker, even though he was always saying the same old salesman things over and over again. I bumped into John Calfan at one of these early morning meetings, and he and I fell into conversation. I mentioned that I had taught math in college as well as philosophy, and he immediately, reflexively said, "Oh, so you do mathematical logic, that's the kind of philosopher you are, a mathematical philosopher." I responded by saying, in a firm but friendly way, "John, you are always categorizing me, and it's off-putting." It occurs to me that I was willing to say this because I was already developing serious reservations about continuing at Primerica. Anyway, he softened when I said this, and then he and I briefly chatted amicably about his background in economics. That turned out to be my last time at Primerica. After a couple of weeks, my team lead sent me a couple of friendly emails and left a couple of friendly voice messages, asking how I was and telling me that one of my recruits had purchased insurance, which meant that I would get a $100 commission check. I sent an email back saying that this wasn't for me, and that pretty much concluded my time at Primerica. When I was with Primerica, I didn't much enjoy it, and I didn't quite know what I was supposed to be doing, but I didn't consciously hate it. But after some time passed, I grew to retroactively detest it, and it wasn't quite clear to me what I hated so much about it, and I did not, until yesterday, identify it as a scam. So let me talk about what led up to my realizing that it was a scam. I finally Googled John Calfan. What was striking was how almost non-existent his web footprint was. I found no references to his being a professor or a PhD. I found only one website where he was mentioned. It was a website of a small, and so I now suspect, fly-by-night economics consulting group, where it was mentioned that John Calfan had done graduate work in economics. It turns out that he did not write a dissertation and did not get his PhD, which, in and of itself, doesn't necessarily mean anything. There are brilliant economists who don't graduate high school, and there are people with PhDs in economics from Stanford who, though obviously in possession of economic book knowledge, do not, at the end of the day, have any real understanding of the discipline. Nonetheless, it made some sense that he had not gotten his doctorate, since, if he had, he would not be a low-life insurance salesman, or faux insurance salesman, rather. And when talking with me, he came off as a goof, with just the sort of chip on his shoulder that you'd expect from someone who had failed to finish his dissertation. But his behavior with me continued to puzzle me. But now that I see what an outright fraud Primerica is, his behavior puzzles me less. Now I can explain why he couldn't give me a straight answer when I asked him whether we sold health insurance. The reason is this: Primerica doesn't really sell anything to anybody except its own recruits. Primerica does sell term life insurance to its own recruits, but that's about it. If you went there trying to buy insurance without also being recruited, I don't even know if they could sell it to you. As for John Calfan's bizarre and idiotic mannerisms when giving his talk about recruiting, his saying um in between sentences and staring at his own feet as he literally walked in circles, I think he was trying to appear to be an eccentric professor as opposed to the con man that he is. But I still don't quite understand why somebody who had studied graduate-level economics at the University of Wisconsin, which is a good school, would sink so low as to be part of the Primerica pyramid scheme. And I still don't know how to explain his weirdly saying to me, before I had even uttered so much as one word to him, "Oh, you're a philosopher of health! You're a health insurance philosopher!" Which is about the dumbest thing a human being could possibly say. I don't know if he was trying to box me in as a way of dominating me, or, on the other hand, if he was trying to seem smart and in the know so that he himself wouldn't seem like the fraud that I now suspect that he is. And now that I think about it, that must have been it. I think he got nervous when he found out I had a doctorate, and he then went into a kind of defensive mode since he didn't want me asking too many questions of him. Anyway, after Googling John Calfan and finding out what a cipher he was, I watched some videos about what a scam Primerica is, and they were spot on. And then it hit me, it's a scam, an utter scam. Which brings me to a few more details about my experience there. The Primerica office building is almost completely empty. There are a few empty tables, but no computers, no real furniture, just a few metal chairs, and a large warehouse-like back room where we would have our pep rallies. And when I met with my team lead, he would bring in his own laptop, which was old and beat up. There were no computers in the building. There was nothing permanent. There was nothing at all, really. It was just empty. So what is the lesson to be learned here? First of all, I don't have any particular ill will towards the people there. The only reason the Primerica people were able to scam me is that, in joining up with them, I myself was trying to pull a scam. I was trying to make a quick buck. I was desperate and I was trying to make easy money doing something that I didn't really believe in, and that, for all I knew, had little or no value. What made it possible for the Primerica people to scam me is that I myself was trying to pull a scam. Whenever people are centered, when they're not trying to pull a scam, it is very hard to scam them. The Primerica people scam me because I thought that, by joining them, I would be colluding with them. I thought that I would be in on the profits. If I hadn't wanted a piece of their dirty pie, I wouldn't have joined. And with the possible exception of the very top guy there, I think that they were all desperate people who were trying to make a quick buck. The top guy, who had been there 20 years, was presumably in a different criminological category. But his subordinates were pretty much all losers who were making very little money, but who had locked themselves into a situation where the only possible source of money for them was this scam. And it is a scam. The only money that I ever saw changing hands at Primerica was leaving the pockets of the recruits and going into the pockets of the recruiters. I never saw anyone at the Primerica building who was just a normal customer. It was all either recruiters or recruits. Which, I now realize, explains the complete absence of furniture and of furnishings. Furniture and furnishings are there for customers, not recruits. There were no customers. There were never expected to be customers. So there was no furniture, since there was no need to make the customers feel at home, since there weren't any customers. To my credit, I left Primerica with exactly as much money as I spent on it. I spent around $100, and I made $100. I didn't really learn anything, but if I did learn anything, it was this. You cannot be conned unless you are conning yourself. The people who get conned are themselves trying to pull a con. The difference between the sharks, like Bernie Madoff, and the guppies, like the Primerica rank and file, is that the sharks are self-identified conmen, whereas the guppies are still rationalizing and are only half aware of the spuriousness of what they are doing.